The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Coming to you live from Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 31st day, this Monday, 31st day of January, last day of January 2022. And, wow, that means we have, well, approximately about 50 days before spring comes here. And so that's good news. We've been through this dark winter. And so we have tonight, of course, we have the Mighty Andrew on the board.
Of course, and good evening, Pastor.
Good evening, Mighty Andrew. And then we have way out yonder, we have none other than the Parson Joe Larson.
You mean that highly unpaid professional assistant of yours? Yeah, I'm here, ready to go to work.
You're out there in a nice storm, aren't you?
Well, it's coming, getting closer.
All right, well, when it comes, Joe, go inside. Okay, anyhow.
Common sense.
I know we take a real chance using common sense. We could be charged with hate crime.
We could. I've got a book about the death of common sense and how logic, reason, etc. A few people were there, but the rest of the world kind of missed the funeral.
Yeah, well, we're going at it tonight. We're going to assault the enemy with common sense and reason, aren't we?
And truth. We've got a lot of truth that needs telling tonight.
All righty. Well, we're going to start. Do you remember the title of the message?
What the truly elect can never accept.
This is right. And so here, I'm going to do a little commentary here.
You're going to give some clues?
Yeah. I'll often use the term la-la landers when referring to the majority of Americans that are oblivious, totally oblivious to the current events surrounding them.
Yeah.
God's Word, the King James Bible, refers to them as simple-minded, sinners who reject knowledge and wisdom. Now, the word fool in the book of Proverbs is not referring to someone with a mental deficiency, but to someone with a character deficiency, such as apathy, ignorance, rebellion, laziness, or misplaced anger. Now, the argument that the religious left will often give is that it's pointless to hold to and preach on standards that the majority of Americans have rejected. Well,
in other words, God looks down and says, the majority of the people don't believe it, so I'll have to change, right?
Well, there's a mindset out there because these people have been brought up with hearing polls, this person and this. In other words, don't bother to try to think independently. It's useless. We'll tell you what to think and why you think it. I actually heard that old lady that was on CNN, blonde-headed woman. I can't think of her. I can't remember her name. But she actually was upset because she was being criticized for lying, for telling lies.
Oh.
And she actually said that Our job is to tell you what to think and why you think it. That's our job. No?
Oh.
Yeah, well, it may be their job to tell the simple-minded what to think.
Did you pay her to lie to you?
No.
I didn't pay her.
Well, but somebody apparently hired her. Remember, you have to be a credentialed liar, okay?
Yeah.
They are a credentialed liar. They are contracted to lie, but don't call it a lie. Call it the narrative.
Narrative.
And they
not helpful yet.
Right. They actually sign a contract saying, yes, we will. I agree to go with whatever the narrative is, and I agree not to call the narrative a lie because that's exactly what it is, okay, a lie. So, all right, with that, why don't you go to Proverbs chapter 1 and start with verse 20 and read all the way through to verse 33.
All right. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil.
Alrighty. So, Joy, I'm going to give you a little test. It's not too hard here, right, live?
All right.
Nationwide. Now, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Now, Joe, wisdom is, I'm going to give you an A and a B question here, right? Okay.
Right.
Now, wisdom is the female part of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit, according to what some are teaching, the Holy Spirit, you have God the Father, the Lord Jesus is the Son, and the Holy Spirit is God's feminine side. Or wisdom here is the Word of God from the mind of God. The Word of God from the mind of God.
I'll go the wisdom is the Word of God coming from what? God himself.
The mind of God. Okay, so that would be number, that
he
would be B.
To himself is he, the Son is he, and Scripture, God himself calls the Holy Spirit he. There is no she anywhere found in the King James Bible referring to any one of the members of the Trinity, period.
Right. So,
there.
Right, but there are those that are teaching this. I mean, and it's a kind of like a nice, sweet, wonderful, like, mindset. And remember back, do you remember back in the 60s when they were teaching, I remember the German Enlightenment movement that it came over here, and the neo-evangelicals started hopping on that, and they were talking about how pastors need to get in touch with their feminine selves, and they were, this infested the seminaries, and you had a bunch of prissy preachers were coming out of there. They wanted to be so sweet, and I tell you, to hear some of these guys talking, it made me sick, okay? You know, how they would talk, and they would act so feminine about how we have to be loving and gentle in nature, you know. you know,
Jesus, well, come to think of it, Jesus was as masculine as any man that walked this earth, but he also had that side of compassion, gentleness, love, all of those things that people give females the credit for, because God created man and woman in what? His own image. So any traits that are given to men and women are traits that God has, because the traits came from him.
Right.
It's not that complicated. I mean, you know, a country boy can figure that one out.
Well, yeah. Well, you see, you know, the Lord teaches us we are to have compassion and we are to show mercy, but we men are not to be feminine. We're not, men are not to act like prissy little fellas. Okay.
I don't have to be feminine to be compassionate, to be gentle with children and old people, and you know, I don't have to be the least bit feminine to have any of those traits.
All right. So how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in the scorning and fools hate knowledge? Well, you know, we already discussed that, Joe, here in the book of Proverbs. The fool, again, is not someone with a mental deficiency, but someone with a character deficiency. We talked about that, rebellion, laziness, anger. The fool, Joe, and here, if we go through the whole book of Proverbs, the fool is not dumb or stupid, but is unable to tell right from wrong or good from bad. Joe, I listened to Joe Biden. He cannot tell good from evil.
No.
Or right from wrong. He can't. He can't tell it at all.
You can't separate it because so many things he does and says are evil.
Well, he thinks abortion is good. He thinks sodomy is good. The man is, again, these death shots. He thinks these death shots are good. And look, he believes in hypocrisy, that hypocrisy is a good thing. Now, here is a guy that's out there. Remember, he was his, he hung with a bunch of Ku Klux Klan members. Here's a guy, I remember him as a senator. He was a real anti-black senator. Now, all of a sudden, because it's politically expedient for him, and Barack Obama is telling him what to do, he's saying that the next, that unclean Supreme Court is supposed to, he's going to have a nominee, has to be a black woman. See, there was a time, Joe, that in fairness, you picked the best qualified person. It didn't matter, okay, God's word, the Bible, right? It didn't matter who they were, what color their skin was, Joe. It mattered whether or not they were best qualified. And, of course, according to God's word, the Bible, unless they believe in God, they're not qualified.
Not at all.
Well, not at all.
Scripture also says deceiving and being deceived. So before Joe Biden can deceive a nation, he has to be deceiving himself.
Well, he's done a good job of that.
Very good, yes. Well, now, most evil people have to. They have to lie to themselves first.
Turn at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now, here, Joe, God is more. He's much, much more than willing to pour out his wisdom to the people to receive his advice. But we must be willing to listen, Joe, refusing to let pride stand in our way. Pride is thinking more highly of our own wisdom and desires. This is what people do than of God's. Now, if we think we know better than God, and Joe, how many times have you heard people say, well, I know what you just read to me, but I disagree with it?
Right. Now, they're saying God doesn't know what he's talking about.
Right. So let me tell you this. If you have 1 million people that have a disagreement with the word of God, so you got 1 million people on this side and God on the other, who's right?
God.
God's right. Okay.
It's pretty simple.
Because right.
One of those things when he talks about that pour out my spirit, when we are born again believers, we receive the Holy Spirit of God, that what is our conscience that guides us, that directs us, that watches over us, and that helps us see things spiritually that the world cannot see, discern things the world cannot, because they do not have that indwelling of the Spirit.
He says, because I have called and you refused, yeah. I've stretched out my hand and no man regardeth. More and more of that is happening. Now, we're going to be looking at that as we go through here because, you see, it's out of ignorance. I mean, extreme ignorance people have thinking, many of them professing Christians, and yet they're living totally contrary to the Word of God, but thinking that somehow it's that God will accept it. Now, he goes on to say, because you have set at not my counsel, would have nothing to none of my reproof, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh, and when your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Now, some of these prissy preachers that we talked about would probably say, oh, now, shame on you, God. That doesn't sound nice, right?
Yeah. What he's saying is, you know, go ahead and boldly commit yourself, condemn yourself to hell. When the day comes, don't, cry out to God because he's already turned his back on you.
Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Okay, for they have hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from the evil. Now, Joe, many, many, many proverbs point out that the fruit of their own way will be the consequences people will experience in this lifetime. That's what he's talking about.
Amen, right. Because sin always has a consequence. Even if you're forgiven, you still have consequences of your behavior.
Well, because when they're faced with either choosing God's wisdom or persisting in rebellious independence, and, they think, I'll do it my way. I'm going to go along and I'll get it done my way. I'll go alone. How many times have you heard people, like that song that Frank Sinatra sang, it had a good tune, that's why I turned around and I put better lyrics in there.
Yeah.
And I did it.
I did it my way. It should have been I did it God's way.
Right. Well, no, I put it he did it his way.
Yeah.
He did it his way because God is the one that gets it done. And so here, but you have this people. How many times have you heard people say, I'm a self-made man? And you hear people described as self-made millionaires or self-made billionaires. No, you're not. You are not. You are not. You are not. Apart from God, you can't even breathe. Apart from God, God is the one that provides every little electrical impulse, okay, in your nervous system, every heartbeat. That's provided by God, okay? You can't do anything apart from God. And when God decides to pull your plug, you're gone. And you've got no say in it. It's up to God. And that's why repentance is so important, isn't it, Joe?
So it's the most important thing in the world because until you repent, you can't be saved. You can't be born again until you repent of your sin.
So is anybody sustained by themselves?
No.
No, it can't happen, can it?
Nope. Not at all.
Well, and then you have people say, "Well, I don't choose to believe them." It's okay. You will. I guarantee you, you will. You're going to believe that. The time will come when you will believe every word that proceeded forth from the mouth of God. And there's no chance that they won't, is there?
He pretty much said that very pointedly in Scripture, and it's like you have always said, there are no unbelievers in heaven, but there are also no unbelievers in hell.
They believe 24.
Because we did a survey a year or so ago where this huge majority of Americans didn't really believe in God, but they believed that they were going to go to heaven. And I thought, now that has got to be the stupidest thing I have ever heard in my life. I'm not sure there's a God, but when I die, I'm going to heaven. Well, who do they think created heaven, runs heaven, owns heaven? And why does it even exist without God? I mean, it really shows how deceived people are, how totally foolish they are.
All right, let's go to Titus chapter 1 and read me verses 9 through 16.
Titus 1. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate.
Well, he's kind of referring here to the Judaizers, but it's
right.
It applies to all the false teachers here too. Now, the interesting,
it could apply to the Democrat Party, to the mainstream media. It could apply to the prosperity preachers. This could apply. There's a lot of vain, unruly, and vain talkers out there who deceive, whose mouths should be stopped. And they do it all for what? The love of money.
So, vain talkers, deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. And, yeah, so he's talking about, so today, what would some of those, the what we call the Judaizers of today, the legalists, be? So, some of the ones they would tell you what? You would have, one, you would have the pork police, okay?
The what?
Pork police.
Oh.
Okay, they would tell you that it's a sin to eat pork. It's a sin to eat the pork, okay? Are you a Jew?
No.
So did God ever give you the dietary laws? Did he ever place you under that? No?
No,
okay. What about it's a sin to worship on Sunday? If you don't worship on Saturday, okay, are we under the letter of the law, or are we under the spirit of the law?
The spirit.
Okay.
That plain.
So in the New Testament, when the apostles met, did they meet on the first day of the week, or did they meet on the last day of the week?
They met on the first day of the week.
Okay, so do you think they knew what was happening? Because, you know, usually when they first start a meeting, who was leading them?
Jesus.
Yeah. You think he knew what he was doing?
It's very possible the Son of God, who had all the power and knowledge of God, would know what he wanted done, yes.
You're right, Joe. You're absolutely right.
That was a hard one, that, you know.
Now, Joe, Paul was quoting a line there from a poem by Epimenides.
Yeah, one of those big long...
Well, and he was a poet and a philosopher who had lived in Crete about 600 years earlier. Now, some of the Cretans had a bad reputation and were known for lying. Paul used this familiar phrase to make the point that Titus' ministry and leadership were very, very much needed here at this time. So he says, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. So what were some of the fables that they were saying? Look, that you can be saved by accepting Christ and by keeping all of the laws. You had by keeping the Jewish laws.
You get circumcised and follow the law.
So did Paul preach and Jesus preach of the circumcision of the flesh or the circumcision of the heart?
Circumcision of the heart. Nobody mentioned that circumcision of the flesh other than in the Old Testament.
Well, no, they did. They talked about it here the Apostle Paul refers to that in Galatians.
You find him telling all the followers to go get circumcised.
Right. What Paul is telling them over, if you go to Galatians 1 and that, he's telling them, no, that's the Jewish, the religion of the Jews, and we are not bound to the religion of the Jews, okay?
Right.
So that's what he's telling them there. So
we are bound to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
All right.
The gospel.
And so he goes on to say, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled, unbelieving, is nothing pure, okay? Is there anything that's pure with the Democrats other than their sin?
No, because they have defiled themselves so much that there's nothing. Well, right there it says there's nothing in them pure.
And so, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny him.
Right.
Being,
you see that with Pelosi and all these coming out and saying, well, you know, we must have the right to abortion, but I would never have one myself, but we must have the right to abortion. It's health care and all that. But I did notice in here it said rebuke them sharply. Scripture says two things, reprove, which means to correct, and if the reproof doesn't work, then we rebuke sharply. That's a stronger statement, and that's what Christians are afraid to do. They'll maybe try and do a gentle reproof, but too many Christians are not bold enough to actually rebuke, and this is what we hear right here, rebuke them sharply.
Well,
let them know in no uncertain terms that is not acceptable to God.
Well, he tells you to reprove and to rebuke, but also then exhort.
Right.
To turn around and start telling the truth and quit that lying.
Right. And that's when you rebuke somebody sharply, that's what you follow up with, you know.
All righty. Well, guess what? We are time. It's time to go to a break. We'll be back right after this.
He made the ground, the mountains high, and the earth round.
And I saw God become a man and hung upon a cross by love.
The Ancient of Days came to teach us his ways.
Give him all your love, give him all your praise.
Hanging on a cross there, he took my place because of love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Like me, don't question or doubt.
Strengthen their faith day in and day out.
Sins all forgiven, all blotted out. The man called love. Then I see how I've been blessed.
Got a home in heaven, the very best.
Then I know by God this world was blessed by the man called love.
Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love. Can't see him with your eyes, touch him with your hands. The Son of God became a man, strong enough to change the heart of any man. This man called love. He will lift you up, he won't let you down. Take your broken life, turn it all around. Ever since time, nothing's ever been found stronger than love.
Man Called Love. That was by a fella named Joe Clark. And yours truly, Pastor Ernie. And I got word just today, a little while ago, in fact, that Joe had gone home to be with the Lord. And this would make the, you know, the fifth one of my friends that have gone home to be with the Lord in just the past month or so.
Wow.
And Joe was, he was a big part of this ministry for, yeah, well, he was a big part of this ministry for many years.
Yes,
and
he was.
For many, many years, and here. And the last conversation I had with Joe was that we were going to make another song together. We had made several before we were too old, and before we got. And so that was my last conversation with him. And here, I got the word today that he had gone home to be with the Lord. Joe was a fellow that always put everybody before him. He was more than generous. And this guy was, I had never seen anyone who could do, you know how I am with computers. You know, I don't like computers. Me and computers, we're the enemies. But with Joe, in fact, I used to call him a cyborg, okay? And we would, because that guy could do anything. He could make a, he knew how to make the computers work for him, you know. He took charge and it was just unbelievable the things he could do on a computer. He could take an office computer and turn it into a recording studio. He knew how to do these kind of things. In fact, we did that with some of the CDs that we made. Joe could take and he could do just on our computers what. You know, nowadays we have to go to a recording studio to do because we don't have Joe. You know, Joe had worked so hard.
Yeah, and he knew how to filter out and clean up and, get rid of background noise, all kinds of things.
Yeah, he could do that. And he always was helping. And I know that over the years, I know this might sound a little mean, but it's true that, you know, a lot of the prison inmates out there, a lot of them, are not sincere people. Now, you know, I know I was in the prison ministry for 45 years, and they're like anybody else. Those are the ones that are saved. But others, they know that you've got...
ready to get out of stuff, yeah. They it's like anything. They take advantage of anything they're offered.
Well, they know that you've got so much life in you. And they will say, you know, and here's the mindset that you have amongst them is, look, that guy's got so much life in him. If I don't get it, somebody else will. So I might as well get it, you know. And in a sense, they have to look out for themselves because a lot of those people have absolutely nobody on the outside. But what happened, Joe had a good heart. He always had a really good heart. And I know that he would help. I mean, he would go out of his way to help the inmates. And sometimes, you know, you can just take on too much and get burnt out.
Yeah.
And I have people warning me all the time, Pastor, you gotta slow down a little bit, you gotta slow down. But Joe, they'll always say, just do this one thing for me and then slow down, right? And so it's an amazing thing, but Joe, I don't have any information yet on
why or anything.
No, I'm just all I got.
You know, heaven is blessed. Heaven is celebrating.
Yeah, and so I'll let you folks, because I know that within this listening audience, Joe had a lot of friends out there, a whole lot of friends, and probably my phones will be ringing off the hook wanting more information. Don't call. When I get it, I will announce it over the air, and you'll get it over the air. Now, Joe, I got to go to. I'm going to need some time to do this first article here.
All right.
So just sit back and let me go, okay? Shocking testimony reveals Deathocrats were stealing overseas military ballots from Michigan, Georgia, and now Arizona, too. Look, Joe, we weren't hallucinating. Remember, we were telling people about this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we sure were.
Last Monday, the Arizona Senate reconvened during a Senate session, and the discussion turned to the Uniform Overseas Civilian Absentee Voting Act. Now, the voters covered under that Uniform Overseas Civilian Absentee Voter Act, these are the men and the women who are serving their country in the military and send in mail-in voters vote from where they're stationed outside the country. The act officially covers members of the United States Uniformed Services and Merchant Marines, their family members, United States citizens residing outside of the United States. Now, here, during the hearing, Paul Harris, a Maricopa resident and a veteran in the corporate executive management, spoke to the committee. Harris was a manager during the audit of the Maricopa County audit of the 2020 election ballots. Paul Harris was tasked with overseeing the UNICAVA. I'll just call it the UNICAVA. And remember what that was. That was the Uniform Overseas Civilian Absentee Voting Act. From now on, we'll just call it the, because that's how they have it listed here, ballots during the audit. He described his experience. Paul Harris, the UNICOVA, is the Uniform Overseas Civilian Absentee Voting Act. The ballot is sent out to men and women who work overseas. This is what he's saying, okay, which I just said. And the people who work overseas to get a chance to work in the election. This is the ballot looks like and goes out. It's 11 and a half by 9 ballot. And when I open it up, a box of ballots, this is what a ballot looks like. That's the UNICOVA ballot. You know what this is? It's an 8 and a half by 11 sheet of copy paper. And so Paul Harris continued, "Did you like to know that our ballots come back like this from our overseas people? Did any of you know that in such a sham that people had every day, in other words, they weren't the right size, Joe, at my table being taking pictures of these ballots that were scanned down? I took my team 3 complete days to count all of the ballots. You know why, Joe? Because in 2016, the number that were apparently 1,600 UNICAVA ballots that came back in the most significant election in our lifetime. But in 2020, Joe, the number was 9,600 ballots that came back. And I will tell you as an eyewitness, 95%, Joe, all went towards one candidate. And in a state where the candidate won by 10,000 votes, that is 8,000 new votes during the election, where people were brought home because there was a pandemic. No chain of custody. There is nothing to identify where this piece of paper came from, Joe." He goes on to say, "The testimony by Paul Harris is very similar to what we witnessed in Michigan and Georgia." He goes on, "We have reported this extensively at the Gateway Pundit. The Michigan Senate Oversight Committee held a hearing in Lansing on the election fraud and irregularities in December 2020. President Trump was ahead of Joe Biden in Michigan on election night when all of a sudden they stopped counting votes. And at 4:30 a.m. after Election Day, a massive ballot dump of more than 130,000 votes appeared for Joe Biden in Michigan." Now, I want to stop here just for a minute. I remember there were camera people taking a film of a big truck, like one of those big box trucks, and they were unloading box after box, and right on the box it had Biden ballots, written right on the box, Biden ballots. Okay, these were phony ballots. And so he goes on to say, "One GOP elections observer on Tuesday said all of the military ballots she saw looked like Xerox copies of each other. None were registered Michigan voters, and 100% went for Joe Biden."
That's not the U.S. military. The U.S. military is generally always highly Republican.
Well, look, Biden was and Obama and Clinton were all anti-military. I knew a lot of military people, and none of them would vote for Biden. None of them. I don't know of one that would vote for Biden, okay? And so here, now the witness, Patty McCurry, described her experience at the TCF Center on Wednesday morning. Not one of the military ballots was a registered voter, and the ballots looked like they were all exactly the same Xerox copy of the ballot. They were all for Biden across the board. There wasn't a single Trump vote, not one, and none of the voters were registered. Witness Patty said they had to manually enter their names and addresses and their birth date, January 1st, 2020, which would override the system and allow them to enter the non-registered voters, of which I saw several that day. Throughout the day, that's how they would override voters. There were neither an electronic poll book or in the supplement updated poll. Do you remember how we were telling people about this? We were taking this out, and yet after that, you had Brett Baer looking you directly in the eye, Chris Wallace looking you in the eye through those cameras. You had Susan Smith looking you in the eye, Neil Cabuto looking you in the eye, and they were saying there's no evidence of voter fraud. After we brought all this information out, we brought it all out, and they were still doing it. And Joe, remember how many of the people saw, we watched them flip the numbers right before our very eyes.
Right.
Witnesses of the Michigan hearing says all military ballots you saw looked like Xerox copies of each other. None were registered Michigan voters, and all were for Biden. Okay. The original votes, military votes, were discarded, and Deathocrats printed up brand new military ballots for Joe Biden, 100% for Joe Biden.
Every big election that you and I have covered for past 25, 30 years that I remember, the military votes either didn't come in time, there was something wrong, they just never wanted to let the military vote come in. And that goes along with the story I've got. There's two things happening at once.
Wait a minute. I wasn't finished, Joe. I still had a lot to go here.
The same thing
occurred in Fulton County, Georgia. Nearly all the votes went to Joe Biden, which is statistically impossible. In December 2020, Poll Watcher announced that 93% of the military ballots in Georgia went for Biden. Joe,
there's no way. No way.
The Democrats loathe the U.S. military. Okay. They always have. Now, he goes on. I'll just go ahead and stop there and let you take it from there. Go ahead.
This just goes right along with it. Two things happened. Catherine Engelbrecht is founder of True the Vote. And she and her team have video. They've undercovered massive voter fraud in that election. And what they've discovered, there was massive illegal ballot harvesting and other forms of fraud, and the people they call ballot mules, like drug mules, these people would walk in early in the morning with thousands and thousands of ballots, stuff the ballot boxes in Georgia and other states. The other states happened to be those six states in contention in the election, and True the Vote has a lot of this on tape. I saw a video today on Greg Kelly Reports on Newsmax, a guy coming up to the ballot early in the morning, and he takes out, fans a bunch of the ballots, and he's taking pictures with his cell phone to prove what he's doing, shoves them in the box. Well, this group, True the Vote, has gone out there and they've tracked this stuff. There were 242 traffickers in Georgia who made 5,662 trips to ballot box drop boxes early in the mornings between midnight and 5 a.m., unloading hundreds of thousands of illegally harvested ballots over the course of several weeks.
And, Joe, they were having themselves filmed of putting the ballots in so that they could turn that film in and get paid by the Deathocrats, by the Democratic Party.
Dollars. It's been found out it was $10 a ballot. Now, they found out there's a movie now. Dinesh D'Souza's put this in a movie that's coming out very soon. And, folks, you can go take a preview. It's called 2,000 Mules. 2,000 Mules. And you can go to 2000mules.com. 2000mules.com. They've got this one man made 53 trips to 20 different ballot boxes there. He was wearing gloves, so there's no fingerprints, but they've got him snapping photos. Now, what they did, they tracked the cell phones and where the location of the cell phone. So they've done a lot of investigative police work on this, and they have proof. They've got pictures of the same person at different ballot boxes. They've tracked his cell phone when he would send the pictures, and the location would be at all these different ballot drops, different days. They've recorded this. We've got the proof now. The mules, they've got discovered they tracked over 2,000 mules, many of them with video cell phone trafficking, and you can go see it at, or part of it at 2000mules.com. This, to me, is going to be one of the biggest stories, and the media is not going to like this. They're going to try and hide it, bury it, and but it's going to be really, really difficult, I think.
Well, that's why we're here, to make it very, very difficult for them, huh?
Right. That's why I kept putting out that website so people can go look for themselves. And this story came from WND.com, WND.com. Thousands of mules dropped harvested ballots in 2020. And the amazing thing was, again, Pastor, we were telling people this was happening. We were telling them even before election night that this is what they were doing.
So, and we didn't have to take all of those polls. We didn't have to take all of those polls. I mean, I'm how many hundreds of polls they took when they went and they researched this. They did audits. We knew that from the beginning. We were telling you what they were doing. You know why, Joe? We saw it. we were telling the people. So, but they had to go out and they had to do all this research and investigation. And I mean, all of this. And they've got all the evidence now.
Right.
But, Joe, it just shows you that you and I are brilliant because we knew this without doing any of that investigation. We already had the goods, okay? We had films. We watched them in Pennsylvania when they brought in semi-loads full of phony ballots, okay? Shipped in from was it Minnesota to Pennsylvania. I mean, just the corruption was, you know, in your face. And you had all these people in the media lying to your face, bold-faced liars.
Yeah, we had the truck driver that drove a truck from New York full of ballots, dropped them off in Pennsylvania. Like, why would ballots go from New York in a big truck to Pennsylvania? They took his truck, thanked him, and they took it around where he couldn't see what was going on, but he had seen that there were ballots inside. And we had several things like that we had witnessed or people watching telling us at the time. The thing is, we've got this department. We no longer have a Department of Justice. We have the Department of Judas. So, folks, you're going to have to take this information and start bugging your Congress critters, your senators, to push to get, in fact, on your state level especially, to get rid of that mail-in ballot. This is how the enemy cheats. This is one of the big ways, along with, you know, messing with the military ballots. The voter fraud was tremendous. That's how the only reason Biden got elected at all. And it's going to be up to you, your community, whether or not you have a free and fair election. You've got your own state legislatures, and they can, you know, decide not to have mail-in ballots, and the more states we clean up, the better chance we have of having a safe and fair election.
Biden wasn't elected. He was installed. He was installed.
Yeah.
Here's another one, Joe, and we need to go with this. We identified Rhino Democrats in Georgia They claim to be Republicans. How many states have politicians like that? Well, we've got some of those rhinos here in Ohio, and boy, do we have a number of them there in the Senate, in the House too, but especially in the Senate. Now, in July, we reported that Georgia, now, by the way, this is an article coming from by Joe Hoft and also from Secure the Vote, Secure the Vote with Gabrielle Sterlings, and a very pretty young woman who spells her last name F-U-C-H-S. So there you go. I guess
it
would...
I'm not sure how you pronounce it. I don't, it's probably better just to spell it, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Okay, so here, but it's her name's all through the story. In July, we reported that Georgia corrupt Secretary of State Raffensperger, he's the guy, remember, the President Trump went after big time? And his CFO, Sterling, and his Deputy Secretary of State, Jordan, F-U-C-H-S, weren't upset about Democratic election wins in Georgia. They wanted it that way. They wanted it that way. And here he goes on to say, we then uncovered that these individuals were all connected to a firm that helps Georgia Deathocrats run as Republicans. How many states have rhino? That's what they used to do here in Cleveland. The Deathocrats used to run the Republican for mayor, and he was one of their people. They would run him every year. Helps Georgia Deathocrats run as Republicans. How many states have rhino Deathocrats like those claiming to be Republicans? A report at the Georgia Record uncovered that many connections between top Republicans in Georgia who were connected to a firm that groomed Deathocrats for Republican job. No wonder these individuals did all that they could to prevent President Trump from winning re-election. Here, Landmark Communications of Atlanta bills itself as the go-to firm for GOP candidates to get elected in Georgia. In other words, yep, these are rhinos. The founder, Mark Roundtree, says this about himself as Landmark's website. Mark Roundtree is a president of Landmark Communications, in which he founded. Campaign and Election Magazine has recognized Mark as one of the Georgia's five top influencers, as well as the go-to man for GOP legislative rhino candidates.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Landmark has a history of helping Deathocrats get elected, running as Republican. The phenomenon may have been contributed to the absolute cesspool of corruption in the Peach State when it comes to the performance of Republican officials during the 2020 election cycle. Some of these candidates have ties to the Chinese Communist Party. That tells you they're a Deathocrat right there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they're traitors regardless of what party they're with.
Yep. So he goes on to say that we believe there's been a concerted effort among Deathocrat operatives to do just that, infiltrate the GOP and run as progressives, as Republicans, who are lying about their beliefs and views on the issues. All the information below is from publicly available information. You got to remember, yeah, I have this. We're coming up to a break. And so when we come back from the break, we'll have to, I'll finish this article. And so we're down to about 10 seconds, I think, before the break, Joe. And so get ready. 9, we're getting ready, Joe. 6, 5, 4. Be right back after this. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.